Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station where we help those with ADHD pay attention to attention. With your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Copper.
Welcome, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Copper. Our topic tonight, understanding ADHD kids who don't understand themselves. And with us in our virtual studio is Dr. Sharon Saleem. We got an exciting show. I'm anxious to kind of get to it. Real quickly, some announcements. The third annual ADHD Woman Palooza online conference, virtual conference, is starting February the 5th, which is right around the corner. It's a spectacular event. They've got many, many experts. I think probably most of them we've actually had on the show, so I have to endorse it. It is about ADHD. A lot of the topics that are being discussed have a female bend to them, like the impact of ADHD on females in different particular areas. So it is really geared to that, although there's a lot of men who could really learn a lot from it. To learn more about the event, go to ADHDpalooza, PALOOZA.com. I know I'm grateful. I presented in the past on exercise and working memory, and this year my presentation is on sleep and some real interesting things, boredom and the physical bed as it relates to that, which I don't think many people talk about, so I'm excited about that. Also, tonight's show is being brought to you by Children and Adults with Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder. They've been a longtime supporter of Attention Talk Radio, and since our show is being brought to you by them, we've got a little tip that we're going to run, and then we'll get into the meat of the show, so here we go.
Want school mornings to be stress-free? Planning the night before can make mornings run more smoothly for you and your child. Place a basket or box by the front door for backpacks, lunchboxes, coats, jackets, and whatever else your child might need to grab on their way out. For more tips to get the school year started right, go to the CHAAD website, www.help4adhd.org. That's www.help4adhd.org.
Thank you very much, Chad, for that tip. For those who are not aware, CHAAD is the largest not-for-profit organization that advocates on behalf of those with ADHD. They're a great organization to become a member of. A lot of great member benefits, Attention Magazine, Ask the Expert, all kinds of things. But the real reason that you want to be a CHAAD member is to support the organization because they advocate on behalf of the ADHD community. They're the ones on Capitol Hill doing the work with the regulatory agencies, kind of working with them to make sure that our voice is being heard. So we encourage you to learn about more about them, rather, and become a member at chadd.org. So let's get into the media show. Again, understand ADHD kids who don't understand themselves. And with us is Dr. Sharon Saleem. She's a licensed clinical psychologist in private practice, working primarily with children, adolescents, and families for the diagnosis, treatment, and intervention of ADHD, learning disabilities, and mental health issues. She is the author of the forthcoming book, What Your ADHD Child Wishes You Knew, Working Together to Empower Kids for Success in School and Life. She's got extensive experience consulting with schools throughout Western Massachusetts on mental health issues in the classroom, interpreting psychological evaluations, and improving teacher-parent communications, which is a real big deal. She graduated magna cum laude from Brown University, received her master's degree in psychology from New College in California, and obtained her doctorates in psychology from California School of Psychology. For more information, you can find her on her website at drsharon, S-H-A-R-O-N, Saleem, S-A-L-I-N-E.com. With that, Sharon, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Jeff. It is great to be here.
I'm thrilled to have you on. You know, one of the cool things about going to conferences is, as I've said before, you get to meet a lot of great people. And I actually met Sharon at the last CHAAD conference, and we had a conversation. I got to know her and said, hey, this is really pretty cool stuff. So voila, we have you on the show. And tonight I want to talk about kids. Everybody likes to be understood, especially those kids with ADHD. Even though sometimes they don't totally understand themselves. So can you just talk about the need of humans really to want to be understood?
Of course. You know, I think that we go through life, and what we really have is a great desire to love and connect. I think people often think that the great human desire is to be loved, but I actually think that the great human desire is to love and connect. And I think that's true for everyone, and it's especially true for children. They want to be loved, of course, but they also want to love back. And they do that in their own idiosyncratic ways. And sometimes we connect exactly in the way that they want and that we want, and sometimes we don't. But the challenge is to have that net of wanting to love and loving back be cornerstone of your parent-child relationship and actually our relationship, you know, as humans to each other.
So this need to be understood and to be loved, it seems to me that expectations and other types of things can really impact a parent's ability to understand their kid and to love them. You want to talk about that for a second?
Absolutely. So, you know, parents come into parenting with a set of expectations and hopes for their child. And as the years unfurl, some of those expectations are met and some of those aren't. And what happens when those expectations aren't met is disappointment. And disappointment is conveyed from parents to kids in a whole lot of different ways. But usually children are pretty sensitive to their parents' disappointment and they know when it's happening. And when kids feel disappointed, when kids feel like they disappoint their parents when they're young, they feel bad about themselves. I mean, we see this in little kids all the time. You know, if you raise your voice or they do something you don't like and you let them know, they might swell up with tears. They might pout. They might, you know, say something about themselves that's negative. And over time, what happens is those behaviors become more internalized as kids grow up. But kids very much want their parents' approval and support. And so one of the challenges for parents is that to sort of manage the sort of dynamic between hopes and dreams and expectations for their children and who their children really are. Because sometimes there's a big gap between what you want for your child and what you're expecting your child to accomplish and who your child is and where they are.
That you said that very well. The thing that was interesting is you said the word who kind of jumped out at me, understanding the child and who they are. And kids with ADHD is kind of a part of that stuff, which kind of plays into expectations. And I really think that from a parental perspective, sometimes it's more difficult to pay attention and begin to understand who that kid is. As a result, well, I don't know the right way of doing this, is you're comparing it with who your expectations of that stuff is. And it seems to me that that's pretty challenging for most parents to kind of manage. Can you talk about that for a second?
Absolutely. I think that's really true. So I think there's a couple factors going on. One factor that's going on is that you have a child who has certain strengths, certain limitations, areas that are challenging for them. And you may or may not get that. What you may see are behaviors that are annoying to you. What you may see are behaviors that seem like they're avoiding certain types of responsibilities or interactions. And the question I think that you have to ask is, what is going on for my child? What are their words and behaviors showing me about what's happening internally on the surface, but what actually might be happening underneath the surface? So your child may come to you and say, I'm not emptying the dishwasher. It's your house. You empty the dishwasher. And, you know, you may look at your 14-year-old and want to kind of, you know, say some unsavory words to them in response. But really, the question is, what is happening with that those two sentences, like, and that attitude? You know, that child is testing you to see if actually how to see how you're going to respond. What's the power dynamic going to be between the two of you? That child is attempting, you could say, to avoid doing a responsibility. But I think you could also say that that child is confused about his role in the family and what it means to be a contributing member of the family. And that's the issue that needs to be dealt with. The other stuff, which is on the surface, is what's going to trigger you into saying or doing things that you'll probably regret and won't promote the role confusion. Like, what makes you think that in this family it's not everybody's house and everybody contributes? Because that's really the question, not do what I say or else.
So I'm listening to you, and I'm like, it just kind of dawned on me the way you described it. The confused on their role, it's almost like confused on their role based on the parents' expectations and confused on their role given that they have ADHD and who they are. How do they reconcile that difference? And I think that I don't know if I'm describing that. That's where the fight starts, I guess, a little bit, is that angst kind of going back and forth, and it creates a lot of emotional stress for both parties. Is that
right? And that's absolutely true, because a lot of parents, what I see in my practice and in the talks that I give, a lot of parents say, "Well, when I was 14, I was doing, you know, I was babysitting, and I, you know, had." Five chores I had to do every day, and I had to do my homework, and, you know, I did all these things, and my child basically spends all day on the screen and barely does a few things and, you know, is getting C's, and, you know, clearly what's wrong with my child? And, you know, I think that's not the right question, to be perfectly honest, because you're comparing your child to you and your life experience and your set of parents, which is not what they're living with. You know, I see parents say, well, my nephew is 10 and he makes his own lunch every day and he gets his backpack ready and he gets to school on time. And my daughter can't make her lunch, doesn't have her backpack ready and is late almost every day. You know, but the nephew doesn't have ADD. The daughter does. And so there's a really delicate balance between what are some of the challenges for ADHD kids, where they are, and what's developmentally appropriate given that the fact that they have ADHD. So your nephew who's 10 and does not have ADHD is cognitively probably pretty much 10. And your daughter who's 10 and has ADHD could be cognitively in some areas of her executive functioning younger than 10, as young as 7. So organizing a backpack, which is a fairly high level executive functioning skill for a child, may not be developed in her much more than it is for a 7 or 8 year old. That's where the expectation battle starts, because you're expecting her to be 10. And she's really more like 7 or 8 in that particular area.
Yeah, so I want to cut and go to break here, because this is a great place to kind of break off, because I think that we set the table a lot here, and a lot of parents are maybe listening to this, because the issue really is, okay, so I'm getting some of this stuff. Like, what do I do about it? Which is really kind of the hard part. And I want to touch on that when we get back. For our listeners, I encourage you to learn more about Dr. Sharon Saleen by going to her website at www.drsharonsaline.com. With that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an EDGE Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function challenge make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more, or call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE to get your free college success guide.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to ADDCA.com and click on Find a Coach.
Managing ADHD is about pausing before you ponder and proceed. This opportunity to practice pausing is being brought to you by DigCoaching.com. The Attention Talk Network has over 450 interviews and more than 210 hours of programming, which is overwhelming if you think about it. That's why I've made my list top 10 favorite Attention Talk radio interviews. Download the list at www.digcoaching.com/ATR.
And now back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here with Dr. Sharon Saleen, and we're talking about really understanding ADHD kids. And the title of the show is Who Don't Necessarily Understand Themselves. And I want to talk about dealing with this for a little bit, but dealing with the hard part as a parent. But before we move on, when you're trying to understand and kind of get your kid, I do think that it's interesting because an ADHD kids living in a non-ADD world, and they're hearing expectations and stuff, and they are who they are, and sometimes they don't even understand themselves, but they still want to be heard, they want to be loved, and they want to be gotten. You want to just talk about that dynamic a little bit before we move on?
Absolutely. So what I've observed is that most kids, pretty much all the kids who have ADD that I work with and talk with and have seen over the years and have consulted about, have an awareness that their brain is different, that school is somewhat different for them. And how they, grasp that difference is through comparison with other kids. And they see things that other kids do, or ways that other kids behave, or time in a classroom where other kids are not corrected in the same way that they are with the same frequency, and they notice that they're different. And it's not necessarily a positive difference. I have yet to meet a kid with ADD who doesn't have some shame. And that is no one's fault. It's just the reality of being different in a world where they see people who may not think like they are. They may like who they are, and often do, but they do notice that things are a little more challenging in certain areas for them. So, for example, yesterday I sat with a really bright fifth grade girl who has ADD, who's not on medication. We're doing behavioral stuff for executive functioning issues. And she's in the midst of some standardized testing at her school. And her parents have chosen not to tell her about her results from testing last year because they don't feel like she needs to know what percentile she's in. And what she's experiencing at school is the kids are talking about what percentiles they achieved last year, this year, as they're in the midst of going through the testing again. And what came up in the session as her eyes filled with tears is her concern that she's below average. This is a really smart kid. And so, we kind of talked about, how the parents basically go over her report card with her and the feedback that she gets from the teacher and why it's important to know on this particular measure if she's above average. And what came out was this feeling that at school, because she gets feedback that she's not, sitting at her desk as much as in the right, in the right way, or she forgets to turn her assignments in without a reminder and blah, 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 that she's not as smart. And so ultimately the parents said, look, you're somewhere between the 75th percentile and the 100th percentile. And her whole face lit up. And I thought that was just so interesting that it was, there was this interesting dynamic between parents not wanting to sort of play into this you're a number kind of thinking, and her need to have a sense that her number was okay to what she wanted for herself. And So I think that those kinds of comparisons happen at school for kids, but they also happen at home. If you live, if you're a child in a family where you have a sibling who may not have ADD and you do, there are comparisons. And if that sibling came first, there are extra comparisons and sometimes
yep.
about how they're not measuring up. Or the reverse is a kid who's the oldest kid with ADD who has a younger sibling who is surpassing them in certain levels of responsibility and organization. And that doesn't feel so good either. And so it's a challenge for parents to be able to kind of help that child see that they have strengths and they're on target in some ways, and they're maybe less on target in other ways, like everyone else, right? Because
yep.
those siblings may not have ADD, but they may be struggling maybe with some extra anxiety, or they may not be as adept at playing an instrument or something like that.
Well, it's interesting you said extra anxiety, and I wanted to kind of like just talk about the parents that are listening to this that have the ADHD kid. We're talking about understanding. I think that standardized test thing that you just described, the ability to listen and understand who your kid is, not to say this is what we think that we should do with the kid, but begin to listen to where they're coming from, because the answer is based not necessarily on what you think sometimes, but also where the kid's coming from. I think that's a key piece of it. But those kids that are struggling, go ahead.
Sorry, I was just going to say, well, exactly with that child with the standardized testing, what happened in the course of the session was that the parents saw that there was a self-esteem issue, that it wasn't about, you know, that there was a self-esteem issue, that just knowing a range of numbers that could alleviate that kind
yep.
of low self-esteem.
Yep.
So they didn't say, oh, you're like in the 93rd percentile. They just gave a range, and that range was enough. And
yep.
so that was really a beautiful moment of them seeing where their child was
yep.
and saying,
Absolutely. Okay,
this is in this girl's benefit.
Absolutely. So before we did this, you and I talked about it a little bit, because a lot of people talk about this, I think, out there. And on Attention Talk Radio, sometimes we like to confront the hard part. And a second ago, you talked about the extra anxiety that these students with ADHD are kind of feeling. And I kind of like to flip it around here, because I think the parents of children with ADHD feel a little extra anxiety because they have these expectations of the kids. And I think that while the kids are struggling, for parents with ADHD, there's a little bit of self-regulation that they need to do in order to kind of pause and go back to where you were, listen to your kids and love your kids and understand who they are. Because I think all too often we get caught up in the expectations, and that is a self-regulation issue for the parents. They've got to down-regulate in order to mediate themselves, which in a weird kind of way is really what we're asking the kids to do at the same time, to self-regulate in terms of impulsivity, distractibility, like and those types of things. This is actually pretty hard. You want to talk about this a little bit, because we say that's the outcome, but for parents, this is really difficult.
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, this is actually what I write about in my book, What Your ADHD Child Wishes You Knew. And what I talk about and what I've created is something called the 5 C's of ADHD parenting: self-control, compassion, collaboration, consistency, and celebration. That first one, self-control, is about the regulation you're talking about. Many parents blame themselves at some level for having a child who, in their eyes, is different and even sometimes, quote, may not measure up, unquote, to what they see as other, what they see among
yep.
other kids. And, you know, ADHD, we know, is a biologically based disorder that's so highly, inherited, you know, a 50% inheritance rate.
Yep.
That there's no blame. You know, blame is basically, it's a defeating process. It defeats you in your goal to be the best parent you can be to your child, and it defeats your child in being the best person that they would like to grow into. So
taking some time when you are dealing with any issue, whether it's school or chores or friends or, you know, interpersonal dynamics at home, is the best thing that you can do in the immediate moment.
Yep.
And I call that, and I don't call it a timeout, because a timeout has an association in our culture now with something bad. So I call it a time apart. And you take a time apart. It's a mutual time apart. You separate. And then you work as the adult on you starting to reflect, what's going on with me? Why am I so heated? I need to kind of bring it down. And how I'm going to bring it down is through those breathing exercises or talking to my partner. I'm going to take some time to bring myself down, because I can't deal effectively with my child when I'm activated. Now, go ahead.
No, just finish your thought. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, but you can't expect your child, whose brain is still developing, whose frontal lobes don't finish developing till either 25 in the non-ADHD brain or 28 in the ADHD brain, to calm themselves down in the same way that you have. So this is where your self-regulation comes in, that you can have a conversation with where you're acknowledging what's going on. And what I think is most helpful in those moments is reflective listening and talking. I heard you say blah, blah, blah. Did I get that right? Is there anything else? And let your child talk about what's going on, rather than what I see sometimes, which is parents analyzing their kids and telling them what's going on. That isn't empowering for kids, and it doesn't make them feel seen. They're trying to understand who they are. And the way they're going to do that is through talking to you.
Yep. So I'm going to pause here real quick, because we need to go to another commercial break. When we come back, I'm going to kind of pick up on this a little bit more in depth, because I really think that we're getting to something that the parents can work with. To learn more about Dr. Celine, go to Dr. Sharon, Celine, SALINE.com. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You can't go off to college with them, but we can. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more how an EDGE coach can help your student reach their full potential. You can also call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE and get a free college success guide.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
The Attention Talk Network has over 450 interviews and more than 210 hours of programming, which is overwhelming if you think about it. That's why I've made my list top 10 favorite Attention Talk radio interviews. Download the list at www.digcoaching.com/ATR.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here with Dr. Celine having a great conversation about understanding your ADHD kids. It's interesting. I interviewed Dr. Russell Barkley years ago, and as he argues, ADHD is really mostly a self-regulation challenge, which is the ability to direct an action back on yourself to change your behavior, to change it in the future. It's a future-directed act. So self-regulation is, and when attention, it's basically to kind of pause, catch yourself, and pay attention to something, not get distracted or be impulsively do something else. Et cetera, which is the central issue of those with ADHD. But he also talked about how emotions are much a part of ADHD, as attention is, because it's something that you need to regulate. And Dr. Celine, in this space, when you're a parent and you have a lot of anxiety, there's a lot of emotion. And when you have this time apart and you've got to down-regulate, because I know a lot of adults out there can feel that flooding feeling of that anxiety that's kind of coming in because they're frustrated. You've got to down-regulate. At the same time, you're asking your kid to self-regulate on the other side of it. And I think this is where the whole love thing kind of comes in, because sometimes you've got to give a break to yourself and kind of calm down and relax and adjust your expectations. And if you can be empathetic with yourself and kind of love yourself and then love your kid because they're having to do the same thing. So you're kind of in it together. And if you can shift that mindset to realize that you're both working on it at the same time, my thoughts are it kind of helps you adjust those expectations and kind of come together. You want to share your thoughts on that?
Well, first of all, Jeff, I couldn't agree more with you. I agree a bazillion percent with what you're saying. That's why the second C of the five C's of ADHD parenting is compassion. It's compassion for yourself, and that's exactly right. You're doing the best you can with the tools that you have and as a parent, and you will do some things well, and sometimes you will mess up. I mean, I have definitely messed up in ways that I don't feel super good about, you know, those times I kind of yelled about my daughter, like she could not go out on New Year's Eve when it was 20 degrees without a coat, like, and I blocked the door. That was not one of my finer moments. And I can toss that up to perimenopause or whatever, but it, you know, I was not regulated. And we can laugh about that now, but in the moment we weren't laughing. And
yep.
So, you know, the first, you have to, it's not just about regulation, but it's also about having some compassion that you're doing the best you can with the tools that you have and the history that you came from and the changes that you've worked on since, you know, in your life to develop to be who you are. And your child actually is doing the best in many ways they can. You know, Dr. Ross Green says kids do well if they can. And I firmly believe that. There's not a lot of kids out there who wake up every day and say, gee, how can I mess up today? You know, that's not how they start the day. Things, they may not start the day in the best mood, but in general, if a child has a choice between doing well and not doing well, they're going to choose doing well. That's what Ross Green, you know, has taught for many years, and that's what I see in my practice, and I really see that with ADHD kids. And that's part of why I love working with them, because they wake up each day and they start over.
Yep.
You know, they start over. So that's something that we parents have to remember with ourselves too, you know, that they're starting over and we're starting over. And so that leads us to the other part of compassion, which is about forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and grudge holding. You know, I'm not really
yep.
big on grudge holding. And I don't imagine you are either.
Nope.
And so, you know, it's worth thinking about, you know, what is forgiveness mean in a family, in your family, and how do you practice forgiveness? Do you make amends? Do you talk about things? Are you holding on to grudges? And when you're doing that, who's that hurting?
Yep. It's you described this, it's funny because at Attention Talk Radio, we like to pay attention to attention. And I find a lot of times as a coach, remembering all the methodical steps sometimes can be a little overwhelming in the moment. And I really a lot of times focus in on mindset and that notion of just loving your kid, accepting your kid no matter what, and really kind of trying to keep the pressure off of them and really be connected and understand where you're going on is a mindset that I think if the parents can just focus in on accepting the kids, a lot of what you just described in terms of the C's actually kind of takes care of itself. That it's really mm-hmm. not thinking 1, 2, 3, 4, but a really kind of shifting that a little bit, I think, which goes back to the essence of the show is really trying to love your kids, really try to understand your kids. And I really, one of the highlights is while we're saying that, I think it's actually difficult because of expectations in the heat of the battle. But if you can really like ground yourself in that, we can get through the stuff that really makes a lot of sense. Is that, would you agree with that? Or do you want to make any adjustments for that?
Well, sure. But, you know, I also want to sort of speak for parents. You know, it's really hard to love a kid when they're taking,
yes.
you know, grabbing your bowl of chili from you because they're mad at you and throwing it into
yep.
the sink. You know, it's really hard to love a kid when they never put their clothes away and there's just a mess of clean and dirty all over the floor. It's really hard to love your kid when they're screaming at you that they are, you know, need their computer time, even though they've already been on for 2 or 3 hours. So, you know, I just want to honor for parents that is a serious, those are serious real life challenges. You know, we're not talking about walking around and sort of, you know, all rainbows and unicorns here. We're talking about, you know, real life situations where, you know, it's hard to like your child sometimes. And so the challenge is, how do you live with not liking what they're doing, but still liking them? How do you live with not, you know, encouraging behaviors that are inappropriate, but letting them know that they are doing things that you do approve of? And I think that's a real struggle for many families.
And I like how you frame that, because I couldn't agree with you more. If you're listening to this, everybody back up the tape a little bit, because what she described I think is really true. It's not an easy thing to do, and it's a difficult plight for most parents, but it's where you got to keep your focus. You got to keep coming back to some of that stuff, because at the end of the day, that's what's going to make a difference in their lives, and it's a struggle. It's not easy. If it was easy, you wouldn't be listening to this interview as a result of it, but I think that sometimes if you face it and say, this is really difficult, give yourself some compassion and focus in on that. It can pay spades long term.
That's right. And, you know, I mean, I think, you know, the thing is that what happens a lot in families is that parents have expectations for their kids, and they set rules and strategies, or they set nothing. And so there's either too much rigidity or not enough structure. And so the question is, how do you kind of work in the middle? And I think that's where collaboration comes in, which is, you know, figuring out, you know, something that is a compromise for both of you. And then moving from that place, so that the message that your child, who is learning to understand themselves, is getting from you is that we're a team. You know, I'm on your side. Because soon enough, adolescence is going to roll around, and they're going to be pushing you away 23 out of 24 hours a day. And so, you know, you want to kind of get in that, those feelings of being an ally before, like, the age of 11 or 12, so that that's in there. So that when that pushing away happens, you have a foundation to have conversations about, you know, hey, we agreed that your report card would have B's and above. There are a couple C's. What do we want to do about that? What are we going to do about that? Not what are you going to do about those C's? That's not what we agreed on. Because I'm, you know, I'm sure you've seen kids like this. I have one kid who came, he was like 13, and he came, and his parents dragged him in because he had a report card that had two A's, two B's, and three D's. And, you know, I said to him, I said, well, you know, I'm curious. You know, parents went on about how horrible the report card is. And I said, I need you to stop talking, please. I said, you know, how did you feel when you saw this report card? And he said, and he made this, you know, crumpled up face. And he said, I thought, ugh. And I didn't want to come home. So that's where you have to start. He thought, ugh, what are his expectations for himself? Because I'm going to bet you, you know, $100 that some of your expectations for him are very similar to his expectations for himself. And that's where that collaboration and working together helps that your child make changes that you want and helps them feel understood.
It's interesting because I have one of my kids is, as I begin to understand him, I realize he actually puts more pressure on himself than his parents ever do, which is kind of fascinating. I didn't really know that until I really kind of started focusing on it to understand who he was. It's actually changed the way I go about working with him because of just understanding that side of it and his own expectations for himself. So we're gonna wrap this up
because interesting. Yeah, but kudos to you, Jeff, because you actually, you listened and you asked questions and then you reflected. And that's, I think, what this is really, this whole conversation is about, is
you know, to further understanding your child, it's about listening and asking. It's asking questions, listening, reflecting, regulating yourself, and coming back to this idea that your child is trying to figure out how to be in the world, and they need you as their guide.
Absolutely. One thing that I've learned over the years is when you ask a question of your kid, understand that like 70% of communication is not verbal words. And because a long time ago, I used to listen for the literal words, and it got me caught up, and I didn't sit there and listen to the other things that they were kind of communicating. And I share that because when we say ask questions and listen, for me, like the older me, was I was like, literally, what are they going to say? And, you know, kids, sometimes they don't say anything, but they communicate a lot more if you back up and you're like, what, quit trying to listen for what you're looking for. Just kind of watch them and notice them. And sometimes you pick up on some things. It's kind of where I picked up on the pressure thing, because I was looking at it. Wait a second. It just kind of dawned on me that that's what it is. And again, it's not the easiest thing in the world, but I just want to kind of throw that in, because listening is not always them saying it, because Lord knows some of them don't speak that much. But the trick really is to be present with them and try to get them.
Thank you so much for clarifying that, because that's exactly right. And you're listening to their words, you're listening to their bodies, you're listening to their feelings, and you're taking in that whole picture. You're watching and you're listening, you know, all, and I think that, you know, I'm surprised often, like kids as young as five have an awareness of themselves. It's not necessarily particularly, you know, sophisticated, but they have some awareness. And as soon as that, like, perspective is included in any conversation or acknowledged, their anxiety goes down and the parent's anxiety goes down. Because really, again, it's about wanting that mutual connection. And I think you know, parents do want that with their kids.
Absolutely. Well, Sharon, we got to wrap this up just for time purposes. I got to tell you, I really appreciate you coming to the show. This has been spectacular.
Thank you so much for having me. It has been a great pleasure to be here. I really enjoy talking with you.
We're absolutely thrilled. Everybody, you need to go learn more about Dr. Salline. Go to her website, drsharonsaline.com. We hope you enjoyed this show. Catch us next week for another great edition of Attention Talk Radio. Take care.